a couple of guests that are regulars here on the program from the North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions, the one and only Bob Harms and Tammy Ibach. Well, I wanted to get an update on the wind situation. You know, I think with COVID, no pun intended, and a presidential election, you know, some things just sort of get crowded out, even in North Dakota in the way of news. So important to keep tabs on all this. And there's been a number of moving pieces and parts in the wind energy world the past couple of months. And we're, of course, trying to keep that conversation moving forward. First of all, big projects are at play right now. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because maybe you hear something a little here or there and that kind of goes away. But tell us what's happening right now with these, like the Mercer County project and some of these other big projects.
Scott, there are a few projects in play that are exciting for North Dakotans, for landowners and for counties. There's a project in play in Mercer County with Capital Power, 158 megawatts. There's a new project being proposed in Morton and Oliver County with a 500-megawatt project that will just be an expansion of the wind development that is there already with NextEra. And I'm hearing good news with more projects to come. There's one happening, too. I think you saw the news on that in Cass County, that western edge of Cass County. Invenergy is looking at a 150-megawatt wind farm in Cass County, which will be the first for that region. It's good stuff. Landowners are happy. We're hearing great things.
You mentioned the Mercer County project. Bob, if I'm not mistaken, Capital Power is already doing business in North Dakota, up in Velva. So they're not new to North Dakota, but a player that's expanding, which, you know, is, I guess, nice for folks to know that, hey, they're here, they're already doing business. Gives folks in Mercer County a little bit of comfort there, right?
Yes, yeah. And Capital Power is a pretty diverse energy company. They do both coal, natural gas, and wind. So they do it all, and they're working hard to get through the local issues there in Mercer County that popped up here about a month ago that you're well aware of. And I think they're trying to work through that. If they don't, I'm afraid that project could be in jeopardy, though.
And potentially more by the end of 2020, Tammy?
There will be some more announcements coming before the end of 2020. We're hearing all kinds of good news. We're hearing that there's a potential buyer lined up for Coal Creek, which is exciting. We can save jobs in coal country. That's a good day for North Dakota. We have developers or companies that are currently doing business in North Dakota looking to expand their portfolios here. We can't disclose it all, but got a phone call this morning that I found off the charts exciting with some potential new projects located in central North Dakota. So we're excited. Good day. We can continue to grow and expand that energy portfolio in North Dakota. It makes landowners and county commissioners happy. New revenue. And nobody in North Dakota is in a position to turn down opportunities. We shouldn't turn business away and let it go to other states.
Well, this has been obviously an important a call from Comprehensive Energy Solutions organization to say we want it all. We want all of this, you know. And it was we had a wonderful town hall on that front not long ago, just talking about what do we got to do? What do we got to do to have more of everything? Everybody wins. Get as much of this as possible. Continue to be this big energy exporting state, because you two have said again and again and again on behalf of Comprehensive Energy Solutions Group, you don't want wind projects and development to come at the expense of coal projects and development, right?
That's absolutely true.
Go ahead, Tammy.
It's absolutely true, Scott, and I think the more we use the word collaboration, the more successful we can be with other energy sources to, as we've always said, create more and export more so that North Dakota can succeed.
Go ahead and add your two cents there, Bob.
Well, I think you're right, Scott. And what we've been trying to get across is the right policy framework for North Dakota, so that we can do what Tammy was just talking about to grow the energy pie. And we got to be thoughtful about how we approach that. As we learned in the energy town hall meeting that you helped host several weeks ago, the local decisions that are being made in some of the counties you know, we understand the passion and energy in terms of trying to take care of and help that local industry, the coal industry there in coal country, and we're supportive of that. But the policy decisions that are being made are really not helpful to the coal industry overall, and frankly hurt North Dakota and North Dakota landowners. So we've got to be thoughtful about how we approach this and smart about it.
You two have mentioned that there is an NDSU study coming, talking about the investment, where it's happening, the impact that wind development has had in North Dakota. What do you expect to learn from that?
Well, they did one of those several years ago. I think it was based upon 2016 data, and so they're looking at more current data. And I guess we would expect to learn much the same that we saw a few years ago. What's the total capital investment? What's the total economic impact? What kind of tax revenues do they pay? Total number of jobs, those kinds of things. And I think that's, well, I know that study is underway, and the expectation is it will be done here within the next, I think, month or so. And so we're hopeful that that will be released and help the public and elect officials understand the impact that wind has, the positive impact that wind has in North Dakota.
And Tammy, what would you expect that data, once you get it, you know, what it does as part of the argument here of what you're talking about, trying to have that comprehensive energy solutions, all of the above from everybody. Everybody wins. Lift all boats.
Scott, you're absolutely right. And we're always from the camp of facts. Good information and facts can help everyone drive good decisions. And so we have to get our arms wrapped around the content of the true wind energy resources that we have in North Dakota. It will help all of us during this upcoming legislative session. It's a good tool for Robert and I to use when we're out doing what we call the circuits and talking to county commissioners in wind energy and in coal energy and in oil energy producing counties. We like to take the lead and make community leaders well informed. So it's always a good tool.
All right, about a minute before our break, let's move to the conversation on the coal side. And this is the sensitive one. None of us wants to see coal hurt. None of us wants to see, and of course, the announcement on Coal Creek Station, a very challenging time, all this uncertainty, as you said earlier, rumors that there's a buyer now and a partner and, you know, all those details being worked out. It's not easy to get all that written up and get a deal, but they're working on it, so we're certainly rooting for that. But what do you say about the status of coal interacting with wind right now?
Well, Scott, I think the and that came out in the Energy Town Hall conversation as well. We have to understand what the problem is, and you know, Ed Schaefer drove that into us years ago when I worked for him. And the problem that coal deals with is federal tax policy. We're not going to change that in Underwood. We're not going to change it in Bismarck. That's one. Two, how coal is valued in the market is another problem that coal has. And so what we have to do is, and nationwide, coal has gone from the number one energy electricity source nationwide. It's gone from 38% down to 23% of our nation's supply. And the same is true in the MISO footprint. Similar changes, that's been displaced by natural gas, not wind. Now, that's a little different in the West SPP market. But I think the point is we've got to understand what drives the challenges for coal and then focus the solutions more appropriately than what we've done thus far.
So let's talk about that when we come back, because a lot of folks believe it's wind is the reason that coal is where it's at. We'll address that when we come back. Back with more of our conversation with Tammy Eibach, Bob Harms from North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions, updating how things are doing and a number of projects that are in play throughout North Dakota, Mercer County, Cass County, Oliver County, and others as well. Bob, we talked before the break about what's driving change in coal. Give me your top three or so.
Well, the changes that are taking place in coal, what's driving the changes are federal tax policy, the production tax credit that we've talked about, federal environmental policy, which requires additional capital investment for the coal industry, soft economy, and frankly, the competition that natural gas and to a lesser extent the renewable energy sector is put upon coal. You know, 100 coal plants have been reconfigured or re-energized to natural gas or closed within the last 9 years nationwide. That's how big a challenge the coal industry has.
We have a texter here that says wind energy subsidies need to end. And another saying they can't operate without taxes, and killing coal is a goal. That's how wind goes. Talk about the wind industry's view of the production tax credit.
Well, wind's goal is not to kill coal, A. B, the people that we work with, my clients have said for years that they have been prepared to operate without the production tax credit. We've never lobbied for the extension. That kind of came out of nowhere, and it was a surprise to us, frankly, as a taxpayer, disappointing to me. But I think the real issue, what we want to get to, is we can't solve that here in Bismarck or in Underwood. So let's figure out what are we doing. And what I think the challenge is in North Dakota is if we tell the wind investment community, get out of North Dakota, we don't want you here, that hurts North Dakota. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. If you take the GRE decision and the Capital Power, those two projects, that's a $1.9 billion capital investment. It loses counties and it loses landowners $100 million apiece, $100 million to landowners, $100 million to counties over the life of the project. And it costs North Dakota General Fund $47 million in lost sales tax. And it doesn't solve coal's problem because those investments now are going to go to Nebraska or Minnesota or South Dakota. And so our coal industry still has to compete in dozens of other states where those investments are going to take place. So we've got to be smart about that. But this saying no to wind investment in North Dakota is wrongheaded and it hurts our state. We ought to be looking for better solutions that actually help solve the problem for coal.
Talk about that a minute, Tammy, if you would, because Bob laid out, you know, what is driving the changes, and it largely is federal policy. And even the production tax credit is being phased out. But it certainly has played a huge part in, you know, lifting the wind energy. And again, people connect that to but it's a federal decision, right? It's a federal law. Nobody decided in North Dakota whether to have it or not. Same thing with environmental policy. My gosh, coal couldn't be more of a target. But again, a lot of those decisions are not made here. So what about the local decisions here, that can impact it? What's your take on that?
And Scott, you're correct, and Robert Harms laid it out pretty correctly, too. Those decisions are not, the production tax credit decisions are made federally. But what we need to focus on is what can we do to sustain North Dakota's energy growth? And we want to continue efforts to help landowners. Man, many landowners this summer, again, had bad ag production years. So what can we do to help them? And wind energy is a good source to help them. Lease payments with turbines always create nice revenue for landowners, and those lease payments happen for 25 years or the life of the project. Counties as well, outside of the oil-producing counties or coal-producing counties, need extra revenue to keep property taxes at current levels or at a minimum of small increases for their future. Coal or wind energy is great for school districts. So we want to continue to grow the pie in North Dakota to make North Dakota's energy export larger so that counties, the state, landowners can all benefit. When you have a strong county, you have a good retail circuit that happens there as well. So we want to keep the economy strong.
And Scott, I'd add to that, Tammy mentioned earlier the word collaboration. So my counsel to my friends in the coal industry would be to find partnerships, find ways to stop the fight, stop the discord, look for partnerships. So I use this example in the Energy Town Hall meeting. Coal Creek, as an example, it has two stations. Think about what the possibilities might be able to be if we could take one of those, keep it as coal, put the other one to use as natural gas, use 30% of that electricity to create a carbon sequestration unit there. That would make room for wind. And we've got all three, coal, wind, natural gas, operating together. Look for the collaborations and partnerships rather than the fight.
Easier to win that way. What's the blog address, Tammy, quickly?
Oh, we talked about the collaboration and working in partnership with all of the industries in North Dakota to build...